I want us to think of the words contained in verses 20 through to 22. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. We want to consider something more about the Christian and his Bible. Here, the Word of God is described as a yoke that is to be worn by the Christian. The command of these verses communicates to us much more than a superficial reference to obeying the guidance and counsel of parents. In this text, there are several important aspects of practical Christian living brought to our attention. First, we must recognize here that God speaks to His children. When we read the expression, my son, it goes far beyond any reference of a human father to his offspring. Although that is to be seen in the terms of the human penman, Solomon addressing a son. But more than that, we have to hear the voice of God speaking to all his children. In chapter 3 and the verse 11, we read there, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. That verse is significant because it is later taken up by the apostle in Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 5. And dealing with the issue of God instructing His children, the apostle writes there, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. And the inspired apostle certainly in Proverbs 3 and recognized the voice of God speaking as a father to his children when he said, my son, the voice of the Lord is to be heard in these exhortations. God speaks to his children even in the repeated expressions of this book. My son, we are to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you and to me if we are in His family. It is clearly the Word of God that is in view in this text and not merely the human instruction of a mother and father. For example, we read in the verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. This is terminology, and particularly the promised effects of obedience to this word. This is terminology that relates to divine truth. It's His word that is a light. It's His word that guides in the way of life. And we have to recognize in these verses, God is speaking as a father. And His word is in view. His word, not just parental instruction, but His word is to be bound upon the heart, tied about the neck. It is His word that will lead, that will keep, that will talk. It's His word that is in view. And then there's a third thing that we can bear in mind as we look at these verses. And it does relate to human instruction of children. that the ideal model of raising children is where the words of father and mother agree with the words of God. That's what the wise man has in view here. A human father's commandment, a human mother's law, the law of the home, the law of the family, is to be in line with the Word of God. In a sense, the words and the teaching and the instruction of father and mother are to be an echo of the words of the Heavenly Father. The law of the home is to be the law of God. The law and the word of father and mother, the instruction pressed upon the children, is to be the word of God. That's what's in view here. These are lessons that can be learned as we consider these verses. God speaks. His word is to be bound on the heart, and His word is to be the rule of family life. These words have something important to teach us about the Christian and his Bible. It is a yoke that he is to bind upon his neck and his heart. It is truth that our Heavenly Father would press upon all his children. And just as in the biblical time and even up to more recent times, when animals were used for work and labor and the yoke was a common feature of everyday life, whether it was for the animal pulling the plow or pulling a cart or doing some other form of work and labor, the yoke was a common sight. God would place a yoke upon His people. God would have mothers and fathers train their children to wear the yoke of the Word of God. This is what is in view here. The Bible, the Word of God, is to be a yoke upon the neck of a Christian, a yoke that Christian parents especially are to train their children to wear. I want us to observe here, first of all, how the Word of God plays a vital role in the Christian's service for God. The Word of God, the law, the commandment that is spoken of here, the words of our Heavenly Father, play a vital role in the Christian's service of God. He has called His people to work. He has called His children to work. We have here the symbolic language of labor. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. The language of labor, binding on of the yoke. You will recognize that the yoke is an embodiment of the whole concept of manual work, labor, toil, hard work, very often associated with that imagery. There's work to be done. God has called His children. They are His servants. We have often thought of the words of Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, the Lord Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, or learn from me, learn from my example. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There is rest and relief from the labors of sin, and the turmoil, and the trouble, and the hard bondage of the soul in the service of Satan. We find that rest, that gospel peace and rest in Christ. But we find it under His yoke. He says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And so it is when it's submitted to. But it's an image of work. There's work to be done. There is service to be performed. It is even the work of Christ Himself. When the Savior says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," He is not saying that there's no work to be done. That it's a life of ease, a life of pleasure, a life of indolence, a life of laziness. No, it's His work that we're being called to. There is a sense in which that work is easy and light because it's His work. He is the one who supplies the energy and the power to do that work. But nevertheless, the work is still real. The labor, the toil, even that Christ Himself engaged in. This is the calling of the disciple to bear His cross after Him, to engage in His labor, His work. To serve God as He served, I must do the work of Him that sent me. That is to be the duty of the Christian. In Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 10, in the context of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, we are His workmanship. God creates the new man. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is the purpose of God, even in creating the Christian. They're created to work the way Adam was created, to labor in the Garden of Eden. We read there in the book of Genesis that Adam was put in the garden, in our translation it is, to dress it. Quite literally it is to work it, to labor it. Even in paradise there was work to be done. In Adam's unfallen condition there was work to be done. That was the delight of his life, was to work for God. God has called His people to work. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." In the context He has referenced in the previous verse, a believer that has fallen into sin. That's part of the work of the Christian, to draw alongside those who have fallen and to see them restored, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, but to bear one another's burdens, to help. There's mutual cooperative labor in the work of God, to bear one another's burdens, to fulfill the law of Christ. That's the duty. That's the yoke. He goes on in the verse 5 to say, every man, verse 4 rather, "Let every man prove his own work. Every man shall bear his own burden." Work to be done. Now, when we think about the work that God has called His people to do, the Bible plays a defining role. Like a yoke. There is a definition of the labor. Again, if you think of the farming analogy that's in view here, the work that was going to be done was defined by the yoke. The Scriptures are God's yoke, God's harness for the Christian, a device to control, to guide, to instruct, to channel the energy into the labor that He has called us to. The yoke was used as a means of guidance. And the Scripture is a concrete, objective means by which the will of the Master is communicated to the servant. In part, the yoke was a steering mechanism, particularly when used with an animal, pulling a plow, pulling a cart, doing other manual or heavy work. The yoke was used in steering the animal. We understand that. As God presses His Word on our hearts, we are guided one way or another into His will. He communicates to us through the yoke, like the farmer would with the ox pulling the plow. Go left, go right, go straight on, slow down, speed up. There's a communication of direction and guidance. And the means God uses is His Word. Back in chapter 3, verse 5, we know the Word so well. But the verse 3 has said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. The same kind of language is in view. Then in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge or know, take knowledge of Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How does He do it? Through the yoke that we're called to wear. Relying on His knowledge, relying on His wisdom, not deciding for ourselves what to do, where to go. What a mess would have resulted in the plowing of the field had the beast been left to wander about at will. But that was the function of the yoke. Keep it in a straight line. The communication of the will and the plan and the purpose of the Master to keep it on track. Oh, our own understanding will lead us astray. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't trust in your own judgment. Don't trust in your own thoughts about what you should do, where you should go. This is how the Christian is to live. Trust to the communication of the mind of the Lord through the yoke of Scripture. All thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. In the Psalm 43, the psalmist is at prayer there. In a time of distress and difficulty. In a sense, it's a time when he had so many questions, didn't know what to do. But he knew enough to pray. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. He prays for guidance, the light and the truth. The truth of God, His Word, through which He communicates life. Let that be the means of leading us and guiding us. He had in mind a specific outcome to that guidance, because God, when He guides through His Word, will always lead His people to the place of worship, to the tabernacles, to the altar, to the sanctuary, where He would join the people of God in praise. You know, that is ever a mark of those who are under the yoke of Scripture. They are led by the book to the place of worship that is in agreement with the book. They are brought to the place where the book is opened, where the book rules, where the book guides. In the Psalms again, Psalm 73 and the verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Isaiah 30 and the verse 20, where in this passage there is a reference even to God's people in the nation of Israel as they are brought under the yoke of grace and of the gospel. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. This is the word that God communicates through the teachers that are referred to there, the last word of verse 20. Thine eyes shall see thy teachers, those that teach the word of God. And through the word, it would be communicated to the ears. Thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, just the way the farmer behind the beast would guide and lead it under the yoke. This is the way. Turn to the right. Turn to the left. This is the way, walk ye in it. God guides His people through His Word. He guides them when they wear the yoke of Scripture. There is obviously the concept of submission and surrender to the yoke of Scripture brought to our attention here. That's what the yoke was. It was a visible sign that the animal had been broken to do the will of its master. It no longer lived according to its own will. It was under the yoke. We speak about breaking in a horse, for example. Breaking its will, not so much breaking its spirit, but bringing it to the place where it surrenders. The will of a rider. Submission. The yoke was evidence that the creature that wore it was under the control of another. And that's the relationship the Christian should have with his Bible. It should be a yoke. There should be visible evidence in the life of the child of God, I am not my own. I belong to the Lord. I live to do His will. And this is the yoke that I serve under. Spirit of meekness. Yielded to the will of God. Submission. That must be our view of the Bible. It was the view of the apostles, certainly, even though it brought them into much controversy and hardship and opposition. Peter and John, faced with prison and faced with threatenings of various kinds and being beaten for their ministry, they're called by the Jewish leaders and commanded not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And they, what did they say? We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We have to. We're constrained. It's as if they're under the yoke, under an obligation. We can do nothing else. There was a bond upon their soul that demanded they do this. Like a creature under the yoke. Nothing else it could do. In a sense, it was in bonds to the Master. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The doctrines of Christ, the life of Christ, the work of Christ. Encompassing all of the revelation of God concerning Christ, we can't do anything else. When they preached the message of the prophets, when they preached what they had personally seen of the life of Christ, His death and His resurrection, and the doctrines of atonement, they had to preach that. They were constrained to do so. Even though it brought them into hardship and difficulty, and the work and the labor was great at times, we cannot but do it. But we have to think of the yoke as being a symbol of support in the work. You know, there were various kinds of yokes. But even when it was used, when a single yoke was used, it was used as an aid in the work. It was used to distribute the load. It was used to make the work easier. It was an aid to labor. It meant that the animal, or even on occasions when a man had a yoke for carrying heavy loads, that much more could be carried more efficiently and more easily in the distribution of the weight. Often, the yoke was a means to form a team in the work. And there was joint labor and a sharing of the work, sharing of the burden. And certainly that is the specific significance of the words of the Lord Jesus when he says, "Take my yoke upon you," because there is a term used there, translated yoke, that quite specifically and definitely refers to a yoke for two, a linking together of two into one team, into one working unit. And under the yoke there was the enjoyment of, even singly, some help and support and an aid in the work, but especially where there's a joining together with others. How important it is for the Christian to think of the significance of being yoked to Christ. Yes, the work is hard. There is labor involved in the life of a Christian. There's a discipline. There's a hardness that Paul spoke to Timothy about. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But we're linked to him. We tap into his resources. We tap into his power. We tap into his strength, his wisdom, his knowledge, his guidance, his direction. We're joined to him. And when we think along these lines, then the yoke becomes much less of a fearful implement. It becomes that which is delightful and easy to wear. Because this is the means by which I am joined to Christ in his work. I can do the work that God has called me to when I wear the yoke that God has appointed. When I bind the yoke of Scripture on my neck and on my heart, I am binding myself to that which joins me to Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21, Paul references this very matter. He speaks of the discipline of his own life. Though he's free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. He had willingly taken upon himself the burden of discipline that he would, as far as he could possibly be, all things to all men. If it only meant his own discomfort and his own hardship and no offense to the gospel, he would do whatever it took to be a witness to men. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law. Then he adds an important statement in parenthesis here in our Bibles. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. And again, I believe he does have this very imagery of the yoke in mind. He is under the restraint and the restrictions of the Word, the law of God, but it links him to Christ, it joins him to Christ, and therefore he is able with Christ to bear the burdens of the self-denial in every expression of it that he is referring to in these verses, to be able to reach men, whether it's the Jew or the Gentile, because he's yoked to Christ. Under the law to Christ. Under the restraints and the restrictions and the teachings and the demands of the laws of God. But joined by that to Christ in this work, did he not describe himself as a laborer together with God? And use that expression even of the believers in Corinth, laborers together with God. Because there's another dimension, you see, to this yoke that is being spoken of. Not only may we regard the yoke of Scripture as that which links us to Christ and enables us to serve together with Him, but you see, wherever God's people share a similar view of and attitude to the Scriptures, there is a mutual support, a team effort, if you like, where this Christian and that Christian and another has the same view of the Word of God. And together they bow their necks to the teaching of the Word of God. And there's a little group or a little congregation, and they have the same view of the Bible. What happens? They become yoked together in the work of God. Philippians chapter 4, in the verse 3, Paul is writing to the minister of that congregation in Philippi. And he writes this, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. That's how he addressed them. A yoke fellow. Unnamed. Laboring with the apostle. Sharing the same view of the Word of God in the ministry and acting as a yoke fellow. God's Word is a yoke. It joins us as individuals to Christ and joins one believer to another to carry through the work of God. This book informs us about that work, direct work, and directs us in the work that God has called us to. But I want you to notice something else here. That there is a responsibility to bind it on. To put on the yoke. To wear the yoke. A yoke has no use in the work if it's only an ornament. It serves no useful purpose if it's hanging in the barn. It must be worn. It has to be tied on. That the prophet is especially highlighting here a personal responsibility. There is a responsibility on the part of the individual Christian to apply the Scriptures directly to his own life. That's your responsibility. Day by day, bind them continually about thine heart, upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. We must know, study, and diligently apply the Word of God. The Bible means something. It's not just a book to be read and to be put back on the bookcase. It's a word that we are then to do exactly as we're commanded in verse 21. Bind them. Bind what you read in this book upon thine heart. Tie it about your neck. Let it be the yoke that directs you day by day in the labor that God has called you to. This is a book that demands response. It demands action. It demands work. You cannot read the Bible and understand it without being stirred to do something about it. Biblical Christianity is active. It's a lifestyle of disciplined work and service of God. You read it, you apply it, you tie it on a yoke. It will drive you. It will constrain you to work. This is especially in the context being pressed upon the young. Developing, maturing, and emerging out from under the control of father and mother. This is the age group particularly he has in view. Don't you forget the commandment of your father, the law of your mother. He is addressing a young man here, his own son, in the human aspect of the writing here, addressing his own son. As he begins to take the reins of his own life. As he sets off, as it were, the parental yoke, he must learn to put on the Lord's yoke. In the ideal situation, it will be the same yoke. Only now he's growing in personal maturity, moving into adulthood, recognizing that you know, it wasn't just the law of father and mother after all. But they were simply training me to wear the Lord's yoke. And the Lord is saying here, bind it continually upon thine heart. That's the duty. No matter what age we are, that is the duty of God's people. Bind it on. In chapter 3, we've already referenced the words in verse 3, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Chapter 7, in the verse 1, my son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee, keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Here's a heart under the restriction and constraint of God's word. Here's a neck or a will that's under the yoke of God's law. Hands that are under that yoke, bind them. It's a self-imposed restriction. Every Christian is called upon to a voluntary restriction of the desires of their own heart, of the inclination of their own will, a voluntary restriction of liberty and choice, a voluntary submission of the heart and of the neck or of the will to the demands of the Word of God. That is to be the voluntary choice of the child of God continuously. That this day I will serve the Lord. This day I am bowing my neck to the yoke of God's Word. This day, as it begins, as it continues, as it ends, I will wear the yoke. The imagery of the yoke here is used to enforce the commands of verse 20. Keep thy father's commandments. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Be diligent to guard. Be diligent to keep. Do not leave. Do not abandon. Do not give up on the commands that God has given. And in this instance have been passed on by a godly father and mother. Do not abandon those laws. Do not abandon those commands. But rather, bind them on day by day. Bow your neck to do that will. There is, therefore, to be a restraining of every natural desire to keep the law of God. Not to abandon the commands that God has given. That's the pressure that is placed upon us by the world. That is the pressure and the inclination of our flesh. That is the pressure of devilish temptation. Abandon it. But instead, there is deliberate, conscious, personal response to that that says, no, I will bind it about my neck and upon my heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul, though there's a slight change in the analogy that's used here, he's speaking in the context of war and a warfare that the Christian is called to, but it's the same disciplined lifestyle that's in view. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's the binding on of the yoke. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Everything reined in to obey Christ. There's a voluntary restriction. Here there's a firmness. There's a tightness in this matter. As Peter put it again, changing the metaphor a little, girding up the loins of the mind. How much Christianity today is marked by sloppiness and carelessness. It doesn't matter whether we obey God's word or not. That's the attitude of the modern professing Christian. It's so what the Bible says this or that. It should never be the attitude of the Christian. Do we know it all? No, we don't. The Christian life is continually about learning. Learning new things often about what God requires of us. The Bible, as we come to know it, as we come to study it and desire to apply it, will constantly be pointing out new, fresh areas of life where things need to be tightened up. Where there are things that we never thought about being sinful are now realized, oh, that's something I've got to put right. There's an area of life that's got to be brought under control. Bind them. Tie them. On your heart. On your will. Surely it is implied here that the Christian is not to fight the restrictions of the yoke. Don't fight the yoke. In regeneration, as we saw last time, there is a work of grace done that conquers the old man and brings the will in submission and in grafting of the Word of God so that it becomes part of a very nature. It's an expression of the new nature to be in submission to the Word of God. But we also know that within our being is that unrenewed part that the Bible calls the flesh. The old man, the old things that remain and will remain until we are glorified. The carnal mind, you see, sees the restrictions that the yoke would place upon us as sheer bondage. And there rises up within the old man that which is expressed in Psalm 2 by the enemies of Christ. Let us cast off their cords from us. Let's throw off the yoke and the restrictions. That's the working of the flesh. Of sin within the being of the Christian. It's sin that causes us to chafe against the restrictions that God's Word would place upon us. Chafe against the yoke and fight it and stiffen our neck against it. We'll never find Christ's yoke easy or light when we're fighting it. Only when we submit to it we will discover that the yoke is perfectly shaped to our being and to our circumstances. And it's velvet line. Christ's yoke, when we submit to it, is easy. And it's a burden that is light. We can't reshape the yoke of God's Word by resisting it and fighting it. There's many a Christian has that attitude. They think that if they fight with God long enough, the Lord will let them do what they like. It's not possible. If that one is a genuine child of God, the yoke will not change him. It's not elastic. It's not elastic. All we will accomplish as a Christian by chafing under the yoke of divine command is that we will have blisters on our neck. It will hurt. We'll only get sore. And then the infections of bitterness and anger and all sorts of evil things come into the life. Oh, how bitter and cantankerous the Christian can become living in resistance to the yoke. Again, to change the matter, for Paul spoke of the root of bitterness springing up among you and many being defiled. It's like an infection that gets in through a blister that is opened by resisting the yoke. But you see, here is the expression of the new man. Tie it on. Bind it on. Is that what God wants me to do? Well, let me tie it on my heart. Let me bind it round my neck. The world will look and say there's a man in slavery. But you see, the regenerate man says, no, here is freedom. Here is a yoke that is easy. Here is a burden that is light. This is how we are to behave continually. Continually. How many lessons that suggests to us. It's not a one-off tying on. It's not just something you do once and forget about it. No, it's continually. The word that's translated continually has a very simple literal idea in it of time stretched away out in front of us. Day after day after day after day, as far as time stretches, is to the way to the horizon of life. Tie it on. Bind it on. Continually. There never will be, never can be, any work done for God without a binding on of this yoke. You will not serve the Lord without being in submission and surrender to this book. You can't serve God otherwise. You'll not know what to do. You'll not know how to do it. You'll not know what the work of Christ is or the will of God for your life is without this yoke. You will not, cannot serve God. I don't care what nice works you go about, how helpful to society you may think they are. You cannot serve God outside of surrender to this book. It's the continual requirement for service. Bind them continually. on thine heart. Quickly, let's just mark the benefits and blessings. There's a communication of direction. And we want to come back and enlarge upon this next time because we want to look at the Scripture. We may even come back to the same passage and look at verse, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. It's not just a yoke. It's a light. Guide. Lead. It directs. Bind it like a yoke on your heart, and when thou goest, it shall lead thee. Yes, it'll lead. It'll draw you after the Word. It'll lead you in the right way. The path of life is not left as a mystery to the Christian under the yoke. The Word will guide. There's preservation and security, for God is said to keep the Christian. His Word shall keep thee. It shall. When you tie the Word of God on your neck, bind it in your heart, you are bringing yourself under its protection. There is a protection to be enjoyed in the service of Jesus Christ. We're told that even when we are asleep, what happens when you're asleep? You are utterly unconscious of anything going on around you. You could be in the gravest danger and not know. As many as a man has slept and his house is on fire. Or there's somebody downstairs clearing the place out that would be quite happy to murder him in his bed. He doesn't know. Utterly unconscious. When you're under the yoke of Christ, when you're under the yoke of the Word, He'll keep you. The servant of God is here. I think there is an application that we can make even to the mind of the Christian. So often, even when the Christian sleeps, in the thoughts and dreams of sleep, the devil can work. The devil can work. Sometimes the Christian wakens in a state of despair for no obvious reason. A state of depression, no obvious reason. Maybe the devil has been busy. Even in the night, in the dreams, in the thoughts of our head. You see, if we bring our mind under the control of God's Word through the day, the Lord has said, when you sleep, that Word will keep you. I can't understand how that works, but the Lord says it does work. The yoke of truth will keep you. It shall talk with thee. There's communion with God here. This is simply what's meant when the verse refers to the Word talking with us, by the way. You know, the Emmaus Road experience that we sometimes think of from Luke 24 is not to be an exception. That's to be the rule. What happened at that time? Those men, or that man and woman perhaps even, those disciples, in despair, had cast off the yoke, gone their own way. They'd gone home. The Lord Jesus in mercy draws near, and what does He do? He brings their mind back onto the yoke of Scripture. He opens the Scriptures to them. He binds it on their heart. He rebukes their sin. And once more, He restrains their thinking. They'd gone off into all sorts of gloomy, despairing, rebellious thoughts of their own that had made them give up on Christ's work and service. But what He gently and graciously comes and He just ties the yoke back on, gets their thinking in line. Their hearts begin to work, to burn. They didn't know it was the Savior with them, but the Scriptures were talking to them. It made their heart burn. And thou awakest, it shall talk with thee from the moment of waking through the day. The book talking. These are benefits and blessings that ought to encourage us to bind the truth of God continually upon our heart and mind. It's the means of being led by God, protected by God, and the means of fellowship with God. May the Lord bring our mind, our heart, into submission to His Word. The Christian and his Bible, he should regard it as a yoke to be tied on continually. To live in submission and subjection to it and to the will of God.